This is Jay Sekulow. Briefs filed on the executive order case involving President Trump.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Hawaii and five other states are asking a federal court to suspend President Trump's second travel ban, arguing in a court filing that the order essentially hurts the feelings of Muslims. Quote, the order denies them their right to associate with family members overseas on the basis of their religion and national origin, and it results in their having to live in a country and in a state where there is the perception that the government has established a disfavored religion.
This isn't about feelings, and this isn't about religion. What this is about is national security.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We're literally talking about either a 90-day temporary pause or a 120-day temporary pause at a time where we've seen over 140 attacks from ISIS in at least 29 different countries across the world.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. So this is going to be litigation today, that's for sure, and a lot of it. There are a number of lawsuits that have been filed challenging President Trump's revised executive order on immigration. I'm holding in my hand the first amended complaint from a case that's been filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Georgia. I don't know if we have a picture of this that we could show our audience on Facebook and Periscope. All right. But it's entitled People of the United States of America and the State of California versus Donald Trump. This has been filed by California, so that's a number one. Then, of course, there's the case in Hawaii, which is a challenge based primarily on the religion clauses of the First Amendment, that this is a, quote, Muslim ban. We have filed this morning our brief in response to the state of California. Our brief has been filed, so that's number two. There is also a lawsuit, of course, in Washington State. We are working on our briefs there. That lawsuit, by the way, has been joined by New York, California, Maryland, Oregon, Maine, and Minnesota. There's a case brought by the Council of American Islamic Relations in the Eastern District of Virginia. We're filing in that lawsuit as well. And then there's been a lawsuit in Wisconsin. And by the way, in the Wisconsin suit, a federal judge issued an order that said that the ban of the exempt order did not apply to this one particular family. So there's five kind of moving parts here. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments about this. Logan, let's let everybody know how they can get engaged, and then Jordan and I are going to kind of give an analysis of where we are.
Right, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to call in, or join us on Facebook and Periscope. We're broadcasting live right now, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Again, though, or ACLJ.org, but we are broadcasting and we do some phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110.
And we will be taking comments throughout the day on this. Jordan, not shocking here. It's got our legal teams are working aggressively on this, but there's now basically four significant lawsuits filed on this, all of them expecting action this week before it goes into effect, which is scheduled for the 16th.
Yeah, I mean, and in four of these five, you're talking about cases that would move forward through the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So other than the one in Virginia with CARE and their plaintiffs, in the Fourth Circuit, coming out of Virginia, you're talking about cases all within the Ninth Circuit's jurisdiction. So very similar, that leftist jurisdiction that we have already seen this move through once. Listen, this is a much stronger executive order legally. I don't expect, though, a lot of friendliness at the district court or circuit court level, especially at the Ninth Circuit. But what I do feel more confident about is it's taking this case to a 8-justice Supreme Court, especially if one of these nationwide restraining orders is issued. I feel much stronger about taking this to likely to be Justice Kennedy again, the circuit justice for the Ninth Circuit, if he refers it to the whole court or if he decides on his own, because this executive order is so much clearer in who it does and doesn't impact.
Yeah, so here's interesting. So California has joined this lawsuit. That's number one. So California has joined the lawsuit in Washington State, but they've also filed their own. And as I said, that one's entitled People of the United States and the People of California versus Trump. How do you feel about that? We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, People of the United States, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also start taking comments, Logan, as well, as soon as we get back from the break.
That's right. Plenty of them are pouring in right now. I got some really good ones. We're going to get some of those during the break, actually, as well. And during the show, and if you want to skip the commercials, watch it without commercials, Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. Just search for Jay Sekulow, broadcasting live there right now.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, so the state of Hawaii filed was the first lawsuit against the new executive order on the 90-day pause and the 120-day pause on both immigration and asylum. I do want you to know that we at the American Center for Law and Justice have filed a brief with the U.S. District Court for Hawaii. So I'm holding a copy of that in my hand. So that has been filed this morning with the United States District Court. We are also filing in the case in Washington, and we will also be filing in the case in the Fourth Circuit in Virginia, which is the case involving the Council of American Islamic Relations. So we will be at least in three out of these. We may actually file another one in another one as well. So we'll let you know on that. And again, but that brief, I want our folks on radio, you can hear it, but our folks on TV and Facebook and Periscope can see it. And we've got it right here. It has been filed. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call, and we'll get your comments. You may have got some comments coming in, Logan.
Yeah, let's go to Bob in Sacramento on line one. Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob,
yes,
go ahead.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Two presidents, Jimmy Carter and 79, deported 15,000 Iranians and put a ban on Iranians.
Yep.
And President Obama had a ban on people coming from Iraq, so why are they giving Trump a hard time when Carter and Obama already did this?
Because it doesn't fit. This time it doesn't fit their agenda. I mean, I hate to be that brazen about it, but that's really what this is. It doesn't fit their agenda. There is no question constitutionally. The president, as the unitary executive, has the authority to say no to this and to stop. I mean, we've cited the cases. We've cited the law before, where the president has the right, responsibility, and authority to do exactly what the president did. Now, they're going to try to challenge us on religion grounds. And that seems to be what they're really honing in on here, Jordan. If you look at it, it is really the religion clause that this is a Muslim ban, although 89% of the Muslim world is not even impacted by this.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about six countries out of 50 majority Muslim countries. So six out of 50 Muslim majority countries that are affected by this temporarily paused. And they're all given waivers and exemptions of family members that can still make it to the U.S. Very extensive list. I mean, it goes everywhere from family connections to business connections. These are for people that didn't have visas, didn't apply yet. So even then, I mean, you're not saying that we're absolutely not letting anyone in. We're just saying if you'd like to come in during this 3-month period, this 90-day period, you'll need to go through a unique process. But if you qualify for that, which is most of the kind of people that would challenge these laws, then go through the process. They're giving you the avenue to come right here to the United States of America after you've been vetted, just like they want to do for everyone else in 90 days.
Right. Logan, what do we have coming in comment-wise and call-wise?
Yeah, Ellen just said, very thankful for your organization as they're ready to fight and defend this critical executive order. Then Paige came in and said, don't these judges realize they're in danger from terrorism as well? Why don't they want to protect our country?
Because they say this does not help us in the fight against terrorism. And the irony of this is, of course, you had the case last week with the individual Iraqi that was led into the United States through the refugee program and ends up that was about to be arrested. And the Justice Department called off that arrest just days before the election because they thought it would hurt Hillary Clinton's election for president, which it didn't make any difference. She didn't win. All right, the Attorney General of Washington, and that is the case I think that you got to understand. They are continuing their existing lawsuit. So they've got an injunction in place. They are trying to extend it. Here's what he said.
This is not a new lawsuit. It's not a new lawsuit.
It's our view that that temporary restraining order that we've already obtained remains in effect. And the burden is on the federal government to explain why it does not.
You cannot tweet your way out of it, right? It doesn't work that way in a courtroom.
I think the administration needs to be crystal clear that this new executive order, Jordan, really does void out the previous executive order. And I guess they're saying it's not clear.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point here.
They're kind of conflicting messages.
This is such new language used. I mean, for instance, going through the country-by-country reasons why these six are on there. Why Iraq was excluded this time, and it's because the Iraqi government didn't want to be on the list. And so in that interim time, they worked with the U.S. government successfully to remove themselves from the list, which is the purpose of this executive order. Is this, if you don't like being part of this list, work with the United States. We're talking about six countries. These six are going to have a much tougher time than Iraq doing that. Then you've got the extensive listing about the refugee. It's only 120 days. None of that indefinite time period specifically for Syrians. That's taken out. And all of the exemptions and waivers that are provided in detail so that border agents and those responsible for granting those waivers have a very good reference point of where to go to for those special scenarios. I think it's very dangerous for this administration to keep going out on television saying it's exactly the same. It may accomplish the similar goals
in
a more effective
way. Well, the goal's
the
same, but the language is completely different. I mean, we worked on a lot of this kind of language, and the language here is completely different.
What this judge is going to do is go to the Trump advisors, to Donald Trump's own words, and I'd say we could both probably predict on here we'd be very surprised if there's not a nationwide restraining order issued this week.
No, I'm expecting it. And I expect this, by the way, to go to the Supreme Court very, very quickly. I don't think this is going to hang around long at the Ninth Circuit or at the district court level. Logan, what do we see? We're getting a ton of response on social media. We got a lot of calls coming in. What are we hearing?
Yeah, this is an interesting question from Kathy. Said, could you explain how a state goes about a lawsuit against the president who decides to sue on behalf of the entire state?
Yeah, so this is very interesting because unlike a lot of these cases, this one in California that you're referring to, where it's captioned, the people of the United States of America and the state of California versus Donald Trump. This is signed by, and this is what's so interesting here, this is a private party brought this for the individual. So this is, sometimes you'll see the U.S. attorneys or a district attorney saying for the people. I mean, I've been a federal government lawyer, and you're representing the United States. I have been a district attorney. I've been a deputy attorney general for a state, and you're representing the people of your state. What's so bizarre is to have, and Joe Davis pointed this out in our briefing before, that the attorneys for the plaintiffs, for the people of the state of California and the people of the United States of America, are just two individual private practice lawyers. And they're asserting that the United States populace is against this move. So we will move to get it dismissed on the grounds of what's called standing, that there is no legal basis upon which this lawsuit can be brought. But that's how it's captioned. And again, I don't know if we have a picture of it yet. We do. There it is for Facebook and Periscope. You can see it. And don't get confused here. When it says people of the United States of America and the state of California versus Donald Trump, United States of America, by the way, it should have said Donald Trump, President of the United States of America. That's number one. This is not a state-authorized suit. The state of California has joined the Washington suit. These are now individual groups that are starting to do this, like the ACLU, these kind of groups.
Yeah, that's right. So we've talked about the big state filings now, you know, and then one of the CARE filings.
Now these are going to start.
There's dozens of the smaller filings on behalf of individuals. many of the judges in those cases are looking at it only as it applies to the individual plaintiff. So we saw that over the weekend. The media tried to say, oh, first loss for Trump executive order. No, it wasn't, because it didn't stop the executive order from going into force next week. All it said was this group, which was caught in between the time period, which is what the executive order addresses, it shouldn't be applied to them. And that's all it did. They were already approved to come here. I think the executive order made that clear. And again, these judges, that judge decided to do the right thing, which is it shouldn't apply to this family because of the language in the new executive order.
All right, so let me play again the beginning of Bob Ferguson's statement, the Washington Attorney General, and then read to you the language from the executive order which showed this. Here it is.
This is not a new lawsuit. It's not a new lawsuit.
It's our view that that temporary restraining order that we've already obtained remains in effect. And the burden is on the federal government to explain why it does not.
Okay, well, here's why it does not. Section 13 of the new executive order, revocation. Executive Order 13769 of January 27, 2017 is revoked as of the effective date of this order. So this case should be mooted out. Now, the judge in California has said he will decide mootness on Thursday or Friday. So we're looking at a hearing Wednesday. Our brief's already been filed on that one. And as I said, more briefs on the way. Logan, we have time for another call, or do you want to take a comment?
Yeah, we could take a call. Let's go to Roger, who's calling in Oregon.
Hey, Roger, go ahead.
Roger, yes. Jay, thank you. Just got a comment.
Yep.
There's a new paradigm. I think there's a new paradigm in place for the next 4 years. And the executive order from President Trump will now be challenged as soon as possible after it is signed by the left. It's just going to be another impediment to slow him down.
Well, look, I want to be clear here. We did the same thing when not on every executive order. We did the same thing on the executive orders we disagreed with that were issued by President Obama. One of those we won at the Supreme Court of the United States, which happened to involve immigration, when the president unilaterally changed the immigration laws in the United States. But look, the ACLU has reportedly raised $80 million. There's a report that they've launched a nationwide training program on protest resistance. So their resurgence in all this, Jordan, very quickly is this is their reason for existence. Now, you haven't heard much out of the ACLU.
This is how now that they have become the anti-Trump organization, and the issue though they have here, I think different from when we were filing against the Obama administration, is they are competing against a lot of Democrat state AGs who have stronger cases, honestly, a lot of the time than the ACLU, who are bringing individuals and looking for people. Literally, they had someone at the airport with signs said need a lawyer. Anybody that was making it through the immigration process at that point, that was just a stunt because they didn't need a lawyer because they were entered into the United States of America.
Yeah, Washington Post says, no organization is transforming as quickly or as boldly as the ACLU. Since the election, it's tripled its membership to more than 1.2 million. By the way, we've got about 2.5 million members, and has raised more than 80 million. They've raised more than us.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200.
please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. One of the interesting aspects of all of this is the fact that President Obama's former lawyers, the ones that aren't still with the Justice Department, I should say, have formed special organizations or special groups to go after the president and his programs, including, as we're talking about today, the executive order. But even the former Solicitor General for President Obama was one of the main lawyers brought in the Hawaii litigation.
Yeah, that's right. Neil Cattell, who was an acting Solicitor General for President Obama, a deputy Solicitor General, very involved in the DOJ under both Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. He is the lead attorney for Hawaii. So Hawaii is not relying on their own Solicitor General or Attorney General. They are going right to a former Obama official from the federal level who's argued before the Supreme Court.
Many times, right.
Again, going to probably present a much stronger case, even if you disagree with him.
He's a good lawyer.
So that's who they're going to. They're going to find the best on the left instead of just relying on state elected officials and state folks. That's how seriously they take their challenges against this administration. I want everyone to understand that today very clearly. This is to undermine the Trump administration and also undermine our national security.
Yep.
They want us to be a country that says no. We must let everyone in whenever we want. Remember, this executive order is part of the other two executive orders on border security and internal security as well.
Yeah, interesting also, and I will tell you this, and it's something we're looking at, and I'm going to talk about it later in the broadcast. They've also gone after Jeff Sessions, I mean, very aggressively. The ACLU has. So in addition to these lawsuits that they're putting up, in addition to this training on how to disrupt and engage in civil disobedience, it's a free country, they can do that. They are also being aggressive in going after General Sessions, including filing a bar complaint with the state of Alabama against Jeff Sessions, which, by the way, I will share with you how we're responding to that when we come back from the break. But again, these are President Obama's lawyers are now becoming the activists for these states and also for these private groups. So we talked about the shadow government, folks. There it is in living life. I mean, this is really happening, and that's the nature of what we're dealing with. We're prepared to file responses, by the way. And again, to just let you know that we have, I'm holding him. We've got here our brief that we actually filed. So we are fully engaged on this. Here's the brief we filed with the state of Hawaii against that move. And that, so that brief has been filed, and that is representing you all and many others. A brief amicus curiae, friend of the court, on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice, supporting the defendant. The defendant there is the President of the United States, Donald Trump. So there you have it. We are in litigation there. All right, we're going to take some more calls. We encourage you to share this with your friends on Facebook and Periscope. Let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
Let's go to Bruce, who's calling Colorado. You're on the air. Bruce, line one.
Hi, Bruce.
Hi. I just was wondering, you know, being that the president has warned us about this national security issue,
yep,
if these judges, groups, and states are tampering with his ability to, you know, protect us, if we find later on that individuals were able to get through during this time,
yep,
because of these judges, everyone tampering, and then,
well, there's nothing you could be able to do to the judges if that happens. And I think the reality is that these judges have a different worldview. They are trying to make their point. Their point is the president, and their view has overstepped his bound. I really think this is going to end up focusing on the religion claim. And that is, these are six Muslim, predominantly Muslim countries. But by the way, as we pointed out, it doesn't just ban Muslims from entering the United States. Okay, there's case-by-case exceptions even for Muslims or Christians and Yazidis. It is those six countries, 90 days, and then asylum, 120 days until it's figured out. So I think it's a bogus argument, and believe me, we've responded to it. But you need to know that that is where this is going to become a religion clause case.
Yeah, and listen, these states, they can challenge. I mean, they're spending resources to challenge this. They're spending, if you live in these states, they're spending significant taxpayer dollars. Neil Cattell is not doing this for free. They're paying him as a lawyer, and he's not getting a government salaries fee for his work. And so you have to understand, if you live in these states, that you're wondering whether you can go after the state for filing these challenges. Your taxpayer, state taxpayer dollars are funding these challenges.
Right.
And so they're using the money you pay in state taxes to file against the executive order.
All right, let's go ahead and take some comments or a call, Logan. I'll let you make the call on that one.
Yeah, this is a comment. This a little bit off topic about the judges, though. He said, do you think Gorsuch will be confirmed? So just a comment that came in about
okay,
that.
Okay, so I mean, I would love him confirmed before this case goes That's to the Supreme about, Court yeah. of the United States. The hearing is starting, what's the date, March 20th? Is going to be the hearing. They then will have the ability, fans in meetings on that right now. That's why he's not on today. There will be then a series of delays. So it's probable that he's, I would say, confirmed around Easter. Depending on how this moves, he could be on the Supreme Court when this case comes up. I mean, it's going to be close. But depending on how quickly this moves,
yeah.
I mean, it could, because you could have a situation where there's what's called, I should walk people through this. So what could happen here is on Wednesday, an order could issue. Saying injunction, this order doesn't go into effect. The Justice Department then could take it immediately to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They should set a hearing imminently, within days. They will rule in days. Probably takes no more than 3 or 4 days. If it goes against the president, the Department of Justice can then file a petition with the Circuit Justice, which would be Justice Kennedy. He could either accept it and rule on it himself, reject it, or send it over to the court. I would suspect he sends it to the court. If there are 4 votes to hear it, the case will be put on an expedited basis within days, and we could be at the Supreme Court by, you know, the 25th of March. So that may mean that, in fact, Neil Gorsuch isn't there. Or they could delay it a little bit to make sure Neil Gorsuch is there.
They could also just lift the injunction, Correct. Allow the case to continue.
Correct.
So they could say, hey, listen, you could challenge the constitutionality of this, but while you're doing the challenge, the executive order can be enforced. And that would be the longer process where it'd be more likely that Gorsuch would be then on the court.
But here's what they're trying to do in Washington State. I think people need to understand this. They are trying to keep this old lawsuit together.
Yeah.
In other words, even though the order says it's superseded, which is the should be the law, this is what the Attorney General of Washington said about that very issue.
There are still constitutional problems with core provisions of this revised executive order. And the president does not get to decide if a new executive order is different enough to be clear from that underlying injunction. The court decides that.
Actually, the president can supersede his executive order, General Ferguson. That's why it's an executive order. He is the executive. He has the authority to do that. Now, a court could determine whether that superseding is valid, but it, to me, it of course, the district court judge here will do whatever he wants, as will the Ninth Circuit. But the idea that the executive can't supersede an executive order, of course they can. They're the executive. That's what presidents do.
And the Ninth Circuit acknowledged that, yes. that it was, you know, rescinded. So, again, trying to make this argument against the district court.
They just want to keep that injunction in place.
Yep, and they know they've got a judge who is more likely than not to do it. I mean, listen, if it's a good judge, he would read through this new executive order and realize that his first issues that he had with it no longer exist for the visa holders, for the students, for the people that, for the professors. That interest that the state had that he relied on so heavily, that's not there anymore. So yep. So how on earth would he treat it exactly the same? He may find his own.
He's going to try to.
Oh, yeah, he will.
Yep. All right, Logan, we've got just one little bit left of this segment. Tell everybody what they do to get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast.
That's right. If you lose us here, make sure you keep watching and listening. You can do that by joining us online. Many different options. ACLJ.org. You can just watch the show. But on Facebook and Periscope, you can interact, get your comments in, talk to like-minded and sometimes not so like-minded people and have fun over there. Again, that's at facebook.com/JaySekulow or Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow.
Let me also encourage you to respond to our email going out today on these executive order fights. We've got 4 lawsuits that we're dealing with. One brief already filed, more to come. Go to ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. This measure is critical in defending America. We will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
We will fight.
multiple lawsuits on a Monday. That's what I'll call it. It's Lawsuit Monday.
And we filed.
And we filed as well in response to the lawsuit in Hawaii that challenging the president's executive order on refugee and asylum issues. We have, this is the new executive order that superseded the previous one. We have filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Hawaii, our friend of the court brief, supporting the position of the administration and the president. That brief has been filed. So that's some good news there. There have been both governmental briefs or lawsuits filed, one of which is involving, quote, the state people of the United States and the state of California. I've got this one up on the screen for our Facebook and Periscope audience. This one's a little unusual because it's their First Amendment complaint asking for an injunction nationwide on the order of March 6th. It is not filed by a government agency, but rather by a group called East Bay Law. Andrew Shalaby, he is a lawyer with East Bay Law, and he's filed this on behalf of the people of the state of California and the people of the United States. Well, the people of the state of California are represented by the Attorney General's office in California. The people of the United States are represented by the U.S. Attorney's Office or the Department of Justice. This is a private lawsuit. We are going to respond to that one as well, arguing that there is no legal standing, no legal basis upon which this lawsuit can go forward. Then there is the lawsuit in Washington State. I still say that's the one to look at, Jordan. That's the one we've got to keep an eye on because there's already been an injunction there. This judge is likely to grant another one. Two injunctions have been issued. It's already been in the Ninth Circuit. And even though this is a new one, it'll go to the Ninth Circuit rather rapidly here.
Yeah.
This is the one, and we are filing in that, of course, but this is the one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Washington, Minnesota, and Oregon, and Maryland is also going to join this. But, of course, Washington State is taking the charge. Same judge.
So is New York, by the way.
Yeah, that's what we were reported to. It's not in these notes, so I'm wondering if maybe they're shifting around. There's a lot of, you know, they're going back and forth with strategy right now on doing everything possible to stop this executive order from going into force. But multi-state challenge here. We'll see how many attorneys generals also add briefs in this. Last time around, folks, the ACLJ was one of only three amicus briefs in favor of the executive order. This time around, I'm not expecting too many more. So
that's why we're here, folks.
We are, unlike the left right now, who is piling on dozens of these amicus briefs.
We are
one of just a handful. So it's one, I think, important because when you do have that situation, they're looking at it. Okay, who are these? The groups that are actually saying this is constitutional. Yep. We have a long history of winning cases
at the Supreme Court.
Ninth Circuit doesn't always care about that. They get reversed a lot. But this is the one to watch because it can move so quickly. It's a judge who's already issued the restraining order and a Ninth Circuit that's already issued a restraining order.
So a couple of them are in the Ninth. Three of them are in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal. There's one in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. That is from the Council of American Islamic Relations. We're filing in that one as well because the Fourth Circuit is also called the Rocket Docket. So they can move quickly. Well, let's try to get a comment or a call in here before the break.
One person knows if we know all the states that are involved in the lawsuit.
So Jordan just said it's a moving target. Here's what we got. Hawaii filed its suit. Then in the Washington State suit, these are the reports. New York, California, Maryland, Oregon, Massachusetts, and Maine have filed there. Virginia, there's been a lawsuit filed, but that is not on behalf of the state of Virginia,
right.
The Commonwealth of Virginia. That's on behalf of individuals and the Council of American Islamic Relations. And then there's been one, Jordan, in Wisconsin as well.
That's right. And so, and then these are all, again, those are not all done off behalf of the states. What we will see, I think, mostly from the Hawaii and Washington state lawsuits, I think a lot of states will stay away from the CARE one and this weird California one.
Yep.
The Washington state, it won't just be the states that are parties, but the briefs that will be filed on behalf of states by their attorney generals. I think last time there were 16. So you see all Democrat attorney generals. That's all there are in the country right now. Republicans control most of those offices. They all filed. So that's where we'll be able to really go through the list for you is when we get the amicus brief list either at the district court or Ninth Circuit level.
To tell you who's in.
In the Washington-led and Hawaii-led cases.
All right, we're going to be back with more in a moment, and you're going to see something rather historic during the next segment or hear something historic if you're listening on radio. We're going to do something on air in response to one of these cases. So after the break, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Logan, let everybody know how they can engage. Don't forget our matching challenge at ACLJ.org.
And get your comments in. Right now, phone lines are jammed, so you can't call in, but phone lines will open up at 1-800-684-3110. But in the meantime, get your comments in on social media. Know that someone reads it. Even if I don't get to it on the air, someone in our team, in our social media team, reads your comments. And again, that's at ACLJ.org or Facebook.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So there's some other news on the Justice Department front, and that is the president has asked for the resignations of 46 U.S. attorneys that were serving, appointed by President Obama. It's very important to point out that U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president. It's an executive appointment. Joining us in the studio right now is a former U.S. attorney, and that is Dr. Andrew Economo. He's a senior counsel for the ACLJ. Andy, there is nothing unique about this except that one of the attorneys that have been asked to go in New York said, no, I am not going to resign. Fire me.
Well, there is nothing unique about it. It is standard procedure that with the arrival of a new administration, all United States attorneys are expected, as a matter of course, to submit their resignation to the president, because those are presidential appointments. And it is up to the president to fill the spot of the United States attorney for each of the judicial districts in the country. And if you don't resign voluntarily, which you should as a matter of courtesy and allow the president to fill your position, you ought to be fired. And that's exactly what the president apparently has done in the Southern District of New York.
Which he was not the U.S. attorney there, none too happy about that. But here's what Judge Napolitano said. And by the way, before we play that. This has been the standard in place for 40 years. And the left is acting like this is some big deal. But here's what Judge Napolitano said.
It's a job that you hold at the pleasure of the president. And when the president asks you to leave, you leave. You work for the president. When the president calls you up on Thursday, you don't refuse to take his call and say, I'm not allowed to speak with you. And you don't refuse to return the call and then act like you're surprised when they ask you to quit on Friday and then refuse to quit and make them fire you. Unless you want to run for political office.
Which is exactly what's going on with the New York U.S. attorney. Okay. So understand, let me read you something, though. This is a letter sent to then United States attorney, who served at the same time Andy did, Honorable J.B. Sessions III. Dear Mr. Sessions, the president has asked me to request that the United States attorneys immediately submit letters of resignations, as has been asked of all presidential appointees. Please address your letter to President Clinton and send it in care of John Podesta, assistant to the president and staff secretary, with a copy to me. As a United States attorney, you have played a vital role in the administration of justice in this country. Both the president and I appreciate your years of public service and wish you well in the future. I thank you for your cooperation. Sincerely, Janet Reno, Attorney General of the United States. So, Jordan, this is not unusual. This is the way it works.
No, this is a typical. It's the New York U.S. attorney for the Southern District. He had all these high-profile cases. He was, unlike most U.S. attorneys, he loved the limelight. He met with Donald Trump, and he thought, oh, maybe he'd get a holdover position. you know, Donald Trump wised up to the fact that I'm not keeping these Obama people around.
Yep.
Even though he was going after actually mostly Democrats. It's just you don't trust these appointees.
Well,
so this guy, Preet Bharara, who says, oh, I don't want to run, he goes right to Twitter
and says,
opens his own Twitter account for the first time.
Yeah.
And then that's his one of his first tweets is about being fired. And so he again now has become a public figure past just being a U.S. attorney. And I think it is, you know, for political purposes, he has the right to do it. He made the stunt, though. He could have just...
There is no news here.
Resigned. He didn't have to be fired.
This is standard operating procedure. By the way, the letter to Jeff Sessions from Janet Reno asking for his resignation in 1993, is dated March 23rd, 1993. The president's calls came this weekend, which is what, 10 days before?
It's March.
Yeah. Same. There you go, March. That's when these happen. So there you have it. That's not the only thing, though.
President Clinton had some delays going on because his first nominee for AG had to step aside. So Janet Reno came in.
Correct.
Was the second nominee. So timing-wise, probably exactly the same. If you actually look at how many days she had as AG and how many days Jeff Sessions had as AG.
Here's another thing that's been done. And this one is, I'm really upset about this, really furious about it. We're taking some action. The American Civil Liberties Union, the national ACLU, has filed a bar complaint. Do we have this in the screen? Has filed a bar complaint with the state of Alabama against the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions, for his answers to the questions that came up about the Russian ties. Andy, let's talk about this. Is unprecedented where you'd have the ACLU National doing this, but they have done it. I'm going to tell you the action we're going to take in a moment to counter this. But Andy, let's explain to everybody what's happened here.
Well, what the ACLU has done through some lawyer of theirs in Washington, D.C., has stated to the state of Alabama that Attorney General Sessions violated Rule 8.4 of the Alabama Rules of Professional Conduct by making false statements during sworn testimony and in a written response that he made to the Senate Judiciary Committee in connection with his confirmation hearings to become the Attorney General. And they want the state of Alabama now to take disciplinary action against him for an allegedly false statement or statements that he made. It could include disbarment to a Senate committee. And this, I've never heard of this before.
No, and first of all, he answered the questions honestly and truthfully. But to show the violation of the law that they're alleging, you'd have to say you had the intent to defraud. But this is not some, you know, crackpot organization here. This is, although they're acting like it, this is the ACLU, National, filing a bar complaint against the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions. So we're about to do something pretty historic here. We've never done this before, but to show you that we're not happy about this, and I'm going to encourage everybody that's listening right now, let your friends know we're about to do this. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, make sure you share this with your friends right now, because I am going to do something we have not done on our broadcast before, but we have a letter here to the Alabama State Bar, to the Center for Professional Responsibility, to the Disciplinary Committee located in Montgomery, Alabama. It says, RE-ACLU complaint against United States Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We have drafted a three-page, single-spaced letter showing that the ACLU's claim here is absolutely, positively bogus. It is a bogus political stunt. And what I'm going to do right now is sign that letter, our legal response to the ACLU's complaint, right here on TV, for those watching on TV and radio. And also, if you're listening on radio, I want to let you know, I am signing it right now. The pen is out, and I'm going to sign it. And then we are going to send this right away. This is going to, and I want to be very clear here, this is going to the state of Alabama. So here it is. I am signing the letter right now. It is signed. It'll be signed by two other lawyers with the ACLJ, and that is going to the state of Alabama. I show this to you not for just mere dramatic effect. I show this to you because we're not taking this stuff lying down, and also we're not just talking about it here. We're doing something about it. Look, you know, Andy, the fact is, there's a bar complaint here. You take it seriously. Jeff Sessions did nothing wrong, but this is the ACLU trying to stunt this up.
Well, that's exactly true, Jay, and to show you why it is and how it is not only did they file the complaint, but they immediately on their media website advertised that they were doing that, which was sort of to bolster the... Now, if you were going to file a complaint against a lawyer for malpractice or for something that he did, you would simply fill the form out and you would send it to the state bar. The lawyer would make a response to it and it would take its normal course. But when you put it up on your website and you make a big thing about it, it's obvious that what you're doing is attempting to grandstand and to give credence to what is really a frivolous complaint against Jeff Sessions.
Yep.
But what we've seen the ACLU transform into is a left-leaning kind of communist, socialist-based, you know, in their history, organization, labor rights, protest rights, free speech rights, unless you're a Christian. They used to protect those, and they stopped doing that because they've been on this path of just becoming left, left, left. I mean, the sad thing is the ACLU is basically a legal arm of the left-leaning side of the Democrat Party now.
Yep.
They're basically Democrats. I mean, is that what the ACLU founders wanted, is to be a partisan arm? I don't think so. I think they wanted to be even maybe more radical, but certainly not so aligned with a national political party, which is most of the time funded by major corporations. And yet that is what the ACLU has become, a major corporation-funded organization that used to be communist and socialist. And I just think the fact is they're raising more money trying to be cool right
million.
Now. They're not so cool anymore. I think that, you know, they used to be a lot more grassroots.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what we've done here. So we have responded there. We have responded also. That is going in. Literally, that goes in today. We have already filed our brief in the Hawaii case. And, Andy, we have a series of additional briefs that will be going in over the next 24 to 48 hours.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, we are going to be filing an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief that supports the administration and the president's position in a lawsuit that was filed in the Eastern District of Virginia called Sarsour versus Trump. And we're going to be filing an amicus brief supporting the president's action and the executive order that's under attack in this case called, this very weird case.
Yeah, I've been talking about that one.
People of the United States, I heard you, versus Trump. That's been filed by a private individual named Shalabi.
He's not representing the people of the United States, nor is he representing the people of California. They've got state attorneys and U.S. attorneys to do that.
He calls himself, Jay, in the lawsuit, a private attorney general.
Yeah.
Now, there may be some statute in California, I wouldn't be surprised, that says that you can file something like this. But if there were, I would have cited the code section in the complaint under which you were filing, and that's not in there. So you wonder, what is his basis for doing so?
Publicity. But listen, keeping our eye on that Ninth Circuit case, one of them coming out of there is going to be the one that goes to the Supreme Court on the president's executive order. We come back from the break. We're going to be taking your calls. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign. ACLU's raised $80 million. We want to fight back. Help us. Matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Back with your calls in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. That does not mean, however, that there will be aggressive challenges in court. This measure is critical in defending America. And at the American Center for Law and Justice, we will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. This will be a costly battle. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. All right, we've got a lot of folks on hold. We're going to go right to those calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go right to them.
All right, let's go to Frank, who's calling in California. You're on the air.
Hey, Frank.
Jay, I want to thank you, first of all, for you and your team's work. And I just want to say that God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one true God of the Scriptures, continue to bless you guys.
Thanks.
And find favor in righteousness. And with that being said, Jay, being a California resident,
yeah,
law-abiding, never in trouble with the law, a
yep,
father of four children.
Yep.
You know, here in California, where I'm being denied the privilege to exercise my right to protect my children
in a situation. You live in California, and California on you're talking about parental right issues. So let me tell you, don't think a lot about parental rights. But this is also California, where you've got them taking action into the citizens, so to speak, or a lawyer supposedly he's calling himself the private attorney general. Is absurd, but this is exactly what's happening in California. By the way, I still think the big case is going to be the Washington State and Hawaii ones.
Yes, I do think Washington State and Hawaii is where you focus. Washington State's already had success. Hawaii's yep, got Neil Cattell, a former Solicitor General for the Obama administration, who's been up all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, so he knows
many
the
times
kind of language.
Yep. This is where this is going. I really think this is going. I don't know if it'll get there before the Gorsuch appointment, but I do think that's where it's going.
All right, let's continue on. Tina's calling in Texas.
Hey, Tina. We're going quick to try and hit everybody.
How you doing?
Go ahead. You're on the air,
Hi.
Tina.
Thank you.
Sure.
Listen, I'm kind of curious. Is there another state in the United States or some kind of other entity that can file countersuits?
So, no. Here's what you do. So, a state would have to – there's nothing a state could do that was in favor of this, Andy. I mean – so a state that's in favor, but they can file amicus briefs. So
yes,
what we're doing is representing your interest before these various courts by filing briefs. But a state who agrees with the administration would simply implement the order.
And I would like to see that happen, because there are many jurisdictions, many states who believe that the executive order issued by the president is constitutional and proper, as we do.
Right.
And it would be encouraging if those jurisdictions and those states would do the same
but
thing.
But, Jordan, your concern is there were 27 briefs filed against the president's plan last time, and we were one of three?
There was an amicus brief from every Democrat AG, so not just the states that joined the lawsuit, but amicus briefs on the side of those states against the executive order. I believe that was 18, plus then some others that were not just state AGs. There were only three in support of the executive order.
Yeah, so we got a big job here, and that's why your support of the ACLJ is so critical that we can do this. Go ahead, Logan.
Continuing on, let's go to Paula now on line three in Dallas.
Hi, Paula. Go ahead.
Hey, why don't they just focus? Why don't they go for the juggler on the vetting, extreme vetting?
Well, they did. I mean, the way they're challenging it, though, is indirectly. It is challenging the extreme vetting. The whole executive order is extreme vetting, but they're making a religion claim here.
Also, the administration is trying to give, that's why I don't like ban. These are pauses, 90, 120 days.
Pause.
So that they can do extreme vetting. So you can't just say, we're going to do extreme vetting. You have to then come up with, okay, how is that done? This gives them the time to put, and if you read the executive order, it says that's why. We are putting together the plan to actually carry out this new vetting to keep our country safe from terrorism. So you've got to give the new government time to put together the training so that the officials and government agents are trained to carry out that vetting. That's why you can't just come into office day one and say, okay, new vetting, you have to put a plan together.
Yeah, there's a strange suit. It just got filed. I guess this just happened? Yeah, a few minutes ago. Tennessee became the first state to sue the federal government over refugee settlement grounds. The refugee resettlement on the grounds of the 10th Amendment. So are they for it or against it?
No. They're saying we don't want to keep having to resettle these refugees without getting any federal compensation.
Yes.
So this is what we're talking about, how we still file FOIAs against DOJ. I
think what Tennessee is doing right here is giving the new DOJ and new Obama, Trump administration opportunity
to defend itself,
to stop this policy of forcing refugees on states and not reimbursing the states for all of the costs that go up.
This is another way. So there, it was interesting what the previous caller said. It kind of ties into it. There is something the states could do. Very novel approach by the state of Tennessee. That's just happened. Logan?
Yep, continuing on. John in California.
Hey, John.
You're on the air.
Yes. You know, this is just a massive movement that's been going on for the last 100 years, to destroy America, to change everything. The education system, everything, the Sharia, all of it together is a mess. If you have people go to Clinton Chronicles on YouTube, you'll get a background of what these
people... you know what, though? You could go back to Clinton Chronicles all day and all night, but let me tell you what you got to deal with right now. I got 4 lawsuits, more coming. We got to deal with the here and now. And you could debate over policy from the past, but you know what? Right now, you've got an initiative being put forward to secure and protect. Let's remember what this is about, to secure and protect our country, and that is being challenged, Andy. That's what these cases are about. The president has said, as president, I want to protect the United States from these circumstances, and this is how I want to do it. And you've got states that are objecting. We've got to focus on those cases right now.
And that's exactly what we're doing, Jay. What we're doing is we are taking the position, first of all, the president is doing exactly what he said he was going to do when he was running for office. When I become president, I'm going to see that those who are coming into this country are vetted to see where they're from, what their sympathies are. Are they Americans? Are they for us? Are they with us or not?
That's exactly it. So that's what we've got to concentrate on right now. Logan, back to it.
Yep, let's continue on. Let's go to Julie in Santa Monica.
Hi, Julie, go ahead.
Hi. To me, this seems very similar to 9/11 when we didn't know what was attacking us, and we finally figured it out with airplanes, and we said, okay, that's it. Pause all airplanes.
Well, they did. You know, that's a great analogy. I mean, this is kind of that. I mean, it's obviously a very different situation, but the analogy is valid. It is a pause. We didn't take airplanes out of the sky forever. We paused until we could figure out what was going on.
And that's all this is we want to pause our visa system for these 6 countries. And it lays out why in the executive order. Some it's because they have failed governments. Some it's because they are run by terrorists. Others because they are enemies that refuse to work with us on vetting people, like Syria, like Iran. They're not going to help us. So we've got to create our own vetting for Iranians who want to come here or Syrians who want to come here. Same for the refugee problem. We know a lot of these people, they have no paperwork, documentation. Right. So we need to put together new vetting procedures. We need the time, at least 90 and 120 days. That's all the administration's
asking for.
But we got to
keep our fight, folks. These cases are going to move like a rocket this week. So you're just going to buckle your seatbelts. There's going to be a lot more on this by Wednesday. Go ahead, Long Alert, the last one.
Aaron in San Jose, last call of the day.
Aaron, you're on.
Hi. What can we do to challenge our state government? I mean, is there anything that we can do to file a lawsuit against them?
The state governments could. The states that are supportive of the president can file amicus briefs. Some did last time. But as Jordan said, we were only 1 of 3 that really engaged this last time. And there were, I think, 27 or 30 briefs on the other side. So you got the state of Tennessee trying kind of a novel approach that just happened moments ago. But again, I think there's going to be 4 or 5 main lawsuits here. They are all maturing this week. We are filing briefs in all of them. I shouldn't say all of them. The ones that are the direct challenges. Keep your eye on Washington State, Hawaii. Those are the ones I would watch, number 1 and 2. Number 3, maybe this one out of Virginia with the Council of American Islamic Relations. We're filing in that one, too. 4th Circuit's known as the Rocket Docket. So, again, I think all of these are up at the Court of Appeals. Maybe even by the end of the week, first of next, could be at the Supreme Court the week after that, which would be the same week that we're going to have hearings on Judge Neil Gorsuch to become Justice Neil Gorsuch. So we're busy at the ACLJ. Don't forget our Matching Challenge campaign and always ways to connect with us online.
That's right. ACLJ.org is where you'll find everything. That'll connect you to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our social media feeds. If you want to hear this show again or catch up on old episodes, you can find that and get it directly to your phone each and every day on the Jay Sekulow Live podcast or the ACLJ app.
President Trump's new order protecting our nation against jihadist attacks is well-reasoned and legally bulletproof. This measure is critical in defending America. We will be filing amicus briefs in defense of this new lawful executive order. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.